have to admit I struggled a little bit this week with the sermon for today. Being on the beach there in Ocean City all during the week, seeing the sights and all that, of course, is common to the beach, I was tempted to come home and pray about the desires of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And then, of course, spending a little time with the kids during the week, I thought about coming home and preaching about patience. Of course, it goes on and on and on. But with the beautiful apartment that we had and the third floor front porch looking out over the buildings down into the sea, into the ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean, and watching the ocean change throughout the week was, and that's forever imprinted in my mind. As I sat down and meditated in my study last night on the lectionary readings for today, it made this reading very, very appropriate. So we read from Mark's Gospel today. Mark's Gospel is the most chronological, so we see the life of Jesus following along step by step in the things that he was doing. And Mark's Gospel emphasizes what Jesus did in his life and ministry, and the theme would be Christ the servant. But also it shows us the power that he had and he used in serving and meeting the needs of everyone around him. And our reading today is really, in Mark's Gospel, the beginning of many testimonies of Jesus' power over things such as the storms, the demons, sickness and death, hunger, where he fed the 5,000, the elements of nature, where he walked on the water and he calmed the storms, his power over sickness and physical conditions, thinking of deafness, healing deafness and blindness, and even over the lives of the disciples and the way that he has power in our lives today as his followers. In the context of what we read this morning, Jesus had been on the Sea of Galilee up to this point, teaching in the boat, out in the sea, as a large crowd had gathered on the beach. Remember, he went out in a boat and was teaching from the boat in the Sea of Galilee. And it came to the point of evening, after he had been teaching them parables about the sower, parables about a lamp on a stand, the parables of growing seed, parable of the mustard seed, and having faith the size of a mustard seed. Evening started to come up, and he said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." Now, if you know the story here, what happened after they did eventually get to the other side, that's where he healed the demonic man, on the other side of the lake. But he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side," which would have been the east side of Galilee, the Lake Sea of Galilee, so they were going to go over to the east side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. So they didn't prepare for this trip. They just spur of the moment spontaneously said, "Hey, let's go over to the other side. Jesus wanted to get away a little bit and get a little rest. We'll go over to the other side." Now, the other Gospels of Matthew and Luke also tell the same story. And it says they went just as they were. There was no preparation. They spontaneously went. But there were other boats also with them. And as they were going, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, this was common to the Sea of Galilee because if you know about the Sea of Galilee, it's below sea level. And in where it is geographically, with the mountains rising high on the sides, it creates a wind tunnel effect. And this was common where the wind would come down through in sort of a wind tunnel effect, and squalls would come up. And they found themselves in one of these squalls, and the seas were was raging, and they were nearly swamped in their boat. But Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Now, a lot of us picture him back there, you know, all curled up and stuff. Now, how many of you have ever been fishing or been in a boat? You're kind of cruising along, you're tired, what do? You just kind of kick back and you're relaxing. I kind of picture Jesus just kind of kicked back as he started out across the lake. His buddies are rowing for him, and he's just kind of relaxing. He was sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They were terrified. They were frightened because of the storm and the waves that were battering against them. He got up, rebuked the wind by saying, "Quiet." Rebuked the waves by saying, "Be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. That word calm there in the Greek would have meant tranquil. You know, we take tranquilizers to calm us down when we get all hyper, when we get all out of control. The sea was out of control, but Jesus calmed the sea and it became tranquil. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? You've been with me this long. You still have no faith? I'm not going to let you die. Why are you afraid?" And it says they were terrified. They were terrified not because of the storm, but because there stood a man who just said to the wind and the waves, "Quiet, be still." And it was completely calm. He had power over the natural elements, power over the storm that they were terrified of. Now, the other Gospels, when they speak of this, agree in many ways. There were other boats with him. Matthew says his disciples followed him. Luke, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and they set out. Okay? A furious squall came up. It tells us in Mark. A furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, Matthew said. Luke said that a squall came down the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. Mark says that Jesus was sleeping on a cushion and the disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Matthew says the disciples went and woke him and said, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And Luke says that the disciples went and woke him saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters, says Luke. Mark says he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet and be still." Matthew says he rebuked the wind and the waves and it was completely calm. Mark said he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" In Matthew, he says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" In Luke, he says to them, "Where's your faith?" The Gospels all say that they were afraid. Mark says they were terrified. Matthew says the men were amazed. Luke says, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. This is how it's told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But there's three things clear here. They were in a boat. The storm threatened their lives. The disciples were afraid, but Jesus was calm, and Jesus calmed the storm. There's three key words here I want you to understand and be aware of this morning. First of all, the first key word is calm. This word meaning tranquil, which means it's still or having lack of motion. There was no life or motion at all. The wind and the waves no longer had any power over them or caused fear in their life. The second word is faith. It comes from a Greek word, pistis, which means persuasion. In a moral conviction of a religious truth or a truthfulness of God or a religion, especially reliance on Christ for salvation. Okay? So he says, why do you still have no faith? Why are you not persuaded? Why are you not convicted of the truth that you can rely on me for salvation? And the third word is terrified. The King James Version says they feared exceedingly. It comes from the Greek word phobos, which comes also from another primary word, which means to put in fear, in fear, to put in alarm, to put in fright. They were terrified. They were put in alarm. They came to an alarm and a realization, who is this guy? The wind and the waves even obey him. And they became very much afraid, and they said to one another, who is this? It was none more than Almighty God in Jesus Christ and the divine power, a divine high pressure that came in and calmed the storm. And you see these three words interrelate in our lives as followers of Christ: terrified, faith, and calm. We can identify with them and the way that they felt when we stand in the doctor's office and hear the doctor say the word cancer. We can identify with them in the way they felt when that huge bill comes in the mail and we don't have funds in the bank to pay it. We can identify them when the divorce papers come in the mail that we never expected. We can identify with them and how they felt when the pink slip comes at work and that job that we've had for so many years. We're terrified. We're put in alarm. We're put in fright. What are we going to do? This is a great storm. The waves are pounding away at me. What am I going to do? You see, they didn't have any real faith before the storm. This is the key. It took a storm for them to become afraid or alarmed, to wake them up. But sadly, unbelief and fear made them forget their place. They were in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Their attitude was, "We're going to drown. Don't you care?" Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you just felt like you were going to die, you were going to drown, and you think, "Where's God? I'm going to drown here, God. Don't you care?" You ever feel like that? Of course He cares. He just wants us to remember who's in control and who it is that can bring the calm in our life. Sometimes we have to come to a point in our lives when we realize we need to turn to Him. He is our only hope. And when in faith we do, He will rebuke, He will quiet, and He will calm everything that swamps us in life. He says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How many of us allow the fear and unbelief to block us from doing that? We stumble, and we're terrified because we are of little faith, remembering that He is the one that can calm the storm. A little example of this myself, a little taste of this myself. The day before we were to leave with the youth group, I was going to drive and help take some of the youth group and some of the things along. I sat in the optometrist's office. I had been having trouble seeing for 2 years, and I knew it was got to a point where I needed to buy a giant print Bible, that it was a problem. Why did I have an appointment the day before we left? I don't know. But it was terrifying to hear him say to me, "You are driving illegally in the state of Pennsylvania." And I was shocked. "What are you talking about?" He said, "You cannot drive legally in the state of Pennsylvania." And I was terrified. I was terrified. What am I going to do? I have to drive these kids to New Jersey. Fortunately, we had enough room in Tweet's vehicle. I could ride along. That worked itself out. But I remembered that I had prayed before I left the house, "Lord, I know I have a problem. I know I haven't been able to see right for a while. Let it be the lesser of all evils." And when I left, before I went in the office, I even prayed. And when I left, I was even a little bit angry. What am I going to do? This isn't right. I have to drive tomorrow. I have a responsibility, Lord. You know this. But you know, as I came home, the farther I came, the more I realized, praise the Lord, I don't have to have eye surgery. Praise the Lord, I don't have glaucoma. He said, "The good news is your eyes are in great shape inside and out. You just have a astigmatism that needs to be corrected with glasses." So you'll see this coming up in a couple weeks. Maybe I can play ball a little bit better on our softball team from now on. But you know, we allow these things in our lives to terrify us. We have to remember we're not in control. He knew that was going to happen before it ever happened. He might have saved me from an accident on the trip. Who knows? And the doctor told me, he said, "I'm going to tell you something. If you drive, He said, and you get in an accident, I don't care whether it's your fault or not, you're liable. Somebody will find out that you know you can't see well, and you're in trouble. And he said, I'm scaring you because you need to know how serious it is. And it was God saying, I'm in control. You need to trust me. And he answered prayer, and the closer I got to home, the calmer I became, realizing that he is in control. And that when we allow these things to ruin our lives, the storms that come along in life, we need to remember where we are, whose presence we're in, that Jesus is with us. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. In 1 John it tells us, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Folks, you want to overcome the world and all its storms? We have one choice, and his name's Jesus Christ. As I watched the ocean change over the course of the week, we had one day where the waves swelled to 6-8 feet high. There was nobody on the beach. The wind was blowing terribly. We had a day when I looked down and the flags hung basically limp and the sea was calm. And as I watched the ocean and walked the shores that day, that the waves were swelled, Kyle and I were walking down along the shore, and I looked down across and I tried to think to myself, I wonder how all those sailors felt all those years ago out on those stormy seas. I wouldn't want to be out there. And as I stood up on the porch in the front of our apartment and looked down over the sea, it was as if I was out on the front of a ship looking out over the storm on the sea, and it was terrifying. I can't imagine those early Puritans that we call pilgrims that came over to Plymouth on that little boat of the Mayflower. If you ever go up there, you have to see it. It's not big by any means. And the terror they must have felt coming over. But they trusted. They have faith. They knew that he could calm the storms. And we need to remember that he is the only one who can. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Reformed Baptist preacher of the mid to late 1800s, writes in his little devotional, Morning and Evening, to me remains nor place nor time. My country is in every clime. I can be calm and free from care on any shore since God is there. While place we seek or place we shun, the soul finds happiness in none, but with a God to guide our way, 'tis equal joy to go or stay. Speaking of Paul, he writes that the tempest and long darkness that Paul felt when he was shipwrecked, coupled with that imminent ring or the risk of the shipwreck that Paul experienced on his way to Rome when he was in chains, that tempest and that long darkness brought the crew of that ship into a sad case. And there was one man alone among them that remained perfectly calm. And by his word, the rest on that ship were reassured when Paul said, no, 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 don't be afraid. No one will be lost. Paul was the only man who had heart enough to say, sirs, be of good cheer. Amidst the storm, be of good cheer. They were veteran Roman legionaries on board, and brave old mariners, and yet this poor Jewish prisoner, Paul, had more spirit than they all had. He had a secret friend who kept up his courage. The Lord Jesus dispatched a heavenly messenger to whisper the words of consolation in Paul's ear, his faithful servant. Therefore, he wore a countenance unlike the rest on board that day. And he spoke like a man at ease. If we fear the Lord, if we truly fear the Lord and His great power, fear Him in a reverent way and look to Him for timely intervention when our case is at its worst. Angels are not even kept from us by storms, folks. They're not hindered by darkness. Nothing can separate us from God's great love in Jesus Christ. And nothing can hinder His saving grace in our lives. And I just pray that your prayer to God would be, O angel of my God, be near. Amid the darkness, hush my fear. Loud roars the wild, tempestuous sea. Thy presence, Lord, shall comfort me. Let's pray. Dear God, it is truly a